Welcome to Beyond the Smile with me, Mary Lyle, a podcast that discusses mental health and spiritual well-being. If you like what you hear, please do remember to follow and share. But before we jump in, there may be episodes that are particularly sensitive for some listeners, and if that applies, then I hope you'll join me whenever you feel ready and able. In today's episode, we're discussing counselling, and I'm talking to guest Janice Fernandez about her journey in seeking help and making that personal investment. Janice shares about the different things she considered along the way, but to start off with, I asked Janice when and why did she consider counselling. Let's join in the conversation. First, consider having counselling, and why did you consider counselling?
So going back to 2 years, I had quite a few things going on in life in general. There was particular events like changing jobs, having new friendships, relationships that felt a bit overwhelming because I moved here around 4 years ago. So my social system.
So you moved from another country to the UK? Yeah.
So I moved from India around 4 years ago, and my social support system, my close friends, of course, weren't around. And although I have family, they were not very close by as well. So I think a lot of changes did happen at that time for me. And I had a lot of, I don't want to say novel feelings, but that were unfamiliar to me. Like I started feeling a bit too anxious, a bit too overwhelmed, a lot of rumination, a lot of thoughts that were going really way out of control. And I felt like, okay, this is getting a bit too much for me to handle, and I probably need some external support or another perspective to kind of navigate through what's going on. So although the thought of even considering counseling came about 2 years ago, I actually, from the thought to actually going into my first therapy session was, I think, an 8-month gap. So it was quite a long time that I thought about it, kind of found someone, and actually went into my first session. Mm. So quite a few factors, yeah.
Sure. I would kind of say that my experience is a little bit similar to yours, but I think mine probably built up. Yeah. So I think that because there was a lot of change or a lot of different things that was going on at the time, they probably accumulated and became more intense than I realized. That's what I think. So I started noticing things that I would say was uncharacteristic of myself.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And I realized, and one of the things that I felt was that my resilience had been stripped.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. So I things that I felt that I would normally and quite easily cope with, mm-hmm. I wasn't coping and managing it the way I would normally do. I was sending myself messages about how I felt within. And one time when I was explaining this to someone, I got really emotional because I connected it with, like, I would say, like a life-changing event. And while I was explaining it, how since then I felt different in terms of my resilience, I then realized, you know what? I was advised actually at the time with the people I was sharing it with that I really need to get some help with this. And I'm quite surprised actually, because given the fact that I'm this mental health advocate, mm-hmm. I'm surprised that it's taken me this long to actually, you know, go for therapy. And in terms of timescales, we're talking about summer last year.
Okay.
That's when I first considered having counselling. And I don't know why I didn't think about it sooner, because I think it's something I would have benefited from a lot earlier.
Yeah.
So Janice, you mentioned about how there was a lot of different things, so you couldn't attribute it to being one, I guess, event or issue. So how did you actually go about even choosing your counsellor?
Yeah, so for me personally, I needed someone who had some experience with multicultural counselling, because like I mentioned, since I moved here, I did understand that I needed someone who understood my background, my value system, my thinking. For example, why I attribute a lot of things to my parents, or why I would not need to explain someone, give them a lot of context as to why I do things the way I do. So I wanted someone from back home. So I was looking at basically counselors who did sessions worldwide or like did telepsychology, telecounseling. So looking at the second most important thing that I was looking for is their expertise. So are they specialized in certain things? Like for me, it was like trying to figure out where the anxiety is coming from. So kind of looking at specializations within a particular area as well. And also like their academic background, because I myself have an academic background in psychology. So I kind of understood like therapists and their training. So I just wanted someone who kind of got that expertise or who would be competent enough to just help me with the whole process, really. So I even reached out to friends. I knew a couple of close friends who were in therapy as well. So it's just checking recommendations from them, talking to them, how did they have kind of the process they went through as well. Really helped, and even asking referrals from friends, like, is there anybody you would suggest? But of course, you want to make sure it's not someone they know personally, just because of conflict of interest, of course. But you could also, there are websites that have like a directory of therapists as well, like in the UK. If you want to go down the NHS GP route, you could always reach out to your GP and get a referral to the NHS. There's charities like Samaritans and Mind that could always signpost you to therapists as well. But personally for me was doing my own research and reaching out to friends and getting in touch with them, having conversations. Like sometimes I even felt like you're going to call a few, you're going to reach out to a few, and sometimes it might not be something that you're looking for, which is fine. And they might be busy or we are overbooked, but that's okay. You can just keep looking and someone always strikes. So, yeah.
When I went for counseling, and how I actually found the therapist was through my workplace's employee assistance program. But like what you said about, you know, just like your values and, for example, the cultural differences, and how for you it was important to find someone who it wasn't going to be hard work for them to understand where you were coming from. That's something actually that I think a lot of people actually have at the back of their minds. And I say that because even when I was looking for a therapist, I remember asking a few questions, you know, or even me thinking, oh, it would be ideal if this therapist could or had this like a background, just in terms of like values. When I say values, as in Christian values, because those are the very strong values that I have. And like you reminded me about a conversation that I had with a friend who's a Muslim. And one of the things that she said when she was looking for a counselor or when she was having counseling was just the importance of someone who actually understood her religion, her faith, as well as her culture. So I think that has a strong part to play for some people, just the sense that they want someone who can understand where they're coming from. They don't have to try and explain so that someone understands why they think the way they do, why they behave the way they do, why they make certain decisions, because your background, your perhaps your faith, your values, they all shape why you do things, why you say things, or what decisions you make. And having someone that you're going to talk to that can understand that and not judge you or not try and think or not try and work out the why, you know, beforehand does help, or could help, I think. But I mean, saying that, I had a counselor who didn't have, you know, I don't know actually their background, but I found it still worthwhile. So I do need to add that in actually. So what can someone who hasn't actually had counseling, they haven't gone to a therapist, what can they expect if they were actually going to go down that path? So do you remember when you first, you know, you had your first session with your therapist? And yeah, what did you have any expectations?
This takes me back to quite a few feelings and emotions, really, because I remember before my therapy session, I felt very anxious and very nervous about the session itself, because I was like, this is somebody who doesn't know me at all, and getting very vulnerable in front of them and talking about things that are very personal to you can be very overwhelming. And you need to have some level of, or you build that trust with your therapist, and you build that comfort level with them. So even the first one feels very daunting. And that's very normal because this is someone very new to you. So it's okay if you feel overwhelmed, you feel nervous, you feel anxious. That's completely fine. But you go into the session just taking to them one basic thing as to what got you there. That's one question that I just thought about. Okay, why am I here? You know, what am I trying to get out of this? So I think something that you got to expect is answering that question. They're going to ask you that no matter what you kind of want to bring to the table or not. But I think it's also important to remember that you are in control of the session. It's all for you. And you made this decision. So it's all going to be whatever you want that session to be. You could be there in silence and tell them one word or one sentence and let them brief you on what the expectations are or what you'd like to talk about or when you want sessions to be arranged. It could be partly admin related, but it could also be talking about things that are really on your mind. You could even use your first session to kind of even talk about of course what got you there, but if there's anything you're comfortable sharing beyond that, I think they're always happy to hear and happy to help you there. But no, I think other than that, the first session for me was just being open and honest with the therapist, because that just I felt really helped me to get the most out of the session. So I did take some time to prepare for it. I did a lot of reflection a day before, a week before, definitely, I think, because I was
before
like...
Before your first session?
Yeah,
I'm impressed. That's really good. Yeah.
I just felt like I was mentally prepared, because I said like it was 8 months till that I got myself at the first session. So I had a lot of thinking in between, a lot of questions that I wanted myself to get in, to make peace with before I went to that session. And I think one thing that really stays with me after my first session was what my therapist told me just after we ended the first session. She was like, most courageous thing you've already done is getting yourself to the first session. That's the big step. Beyond that is just you showing up for yourself and doing the work that you want to do. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what the first session is going to feel like. But it depends on person to person. For someone, it could be completely different. Like you're all ready to talk about everything and address some things or not, on the complete opposite spectrum, which is fine. You know, we're all different. We're all going to have a different experience, and that's okay.
Mm. So Janice, like you've been seeing your therapist for how long now?
It's been a year now.
A year. And how often do you see your therapist, given that I know she's not in the UK? It's a she, isn't it? I'm right in assuming that. Yeah.
Right. So initially it was every 3 weeks, but now I do it every 4 weeks, like around once a month.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And obviously this is remotely.
Yes, remotely. We use video conferencing platforms like Skype.
Mm.
So I think that's the best part of our telepsychology now. It gives you so much access to anyone across the globe, and it's at your pace, at your time. So of course, time schedules are something that we need to consider, but that's one of the cons, but it outweighs them.
Hmm. So you've mentioned about how you've been meeting with your therapist, let's just say once a month, averaging once a month. And that's very convenient, given that it's, you know, on a video conferencing platform. You don't have to leave your doorstep, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to travel for it. Yeah. So those are some of the, I guess, the perks in terms of the way that you've been doing your counseling, having your counseling sessions. So what are, if you have any, or if you're comfortable sharing, what are some of the frustrations or even challenges that you've experienced or you may have heard about?
Yeah, of course. I think the number one that I've heard about with close friends and family is finding a therapist. Because although you want one, finding one can be very difficult, because of course you don't want, you want someone who kind of fits your personal needs, someone that kind of fits around your schedule as well. And of course your price range, if that's something you're concerned about. Also, you need to find someone that you're comfortable with, I think, and you trust, because that's another very important part of therapy, because you're being very raw, bare, vulnerable in front of the person. And to make the most out of your sessions, you have to be able to trust them to get into these conversations and have very discuss sensitive topics. And you have to be uncomfortable with them and be as open and honest as possible. So I think those are the two things that I've seen that are pretty common that people experience trying to find a therapist and find someone who you can be very comfortable and trustworthy with. I think another thing that I would say that I've found is in terms of therapy itself is overestimating the time of impact that you're going to see. I think sometimes you assume that, okay, 2 sessions, 3 sessions are going to do the job. Okay, I've done the work. I'm all okay now. I can manage myself. I'm all good. But I think that's kind of an assumption sometimes. It might work sometimes. Like, you know, you're good. You're consistent with the work that you need to do and you see the changes. But sometimes it does not because life happens and you fall back into old habits and you fall back into old patterns. But then you have to remind yourself and keep doing the work to see long-term impact. So the impact is another thing that you might have an assumption about or an estimation about, which might not work, which might be a bit frustrating because you're putting your time and energy into it. And you might think, oh, but why is this not working? Why is this taking so long? Which is fine. It's okay to have those feelings and those thoughts because you'd want to see change. And if it's taking time and it is frustrating, that's fine. But you just need to be a bit patient, a lot of patience with yourself. And I think another one that I've personally experienced in therapy is talking about sensitive subjects. Like I said, you need to build that trust with your therapist. So getting things to the table might seem a bit, oh, can I talk about this? Is this something I can talk to my therapist about? Will they be comfortable talking about this? So I think that's something that I personally struggled with. But then I realized over time, the more that I keep things inside, that's where the problem lies. And the things that you don't talk about actually are the things that will set you free or kind of give you that inner peace you're really longing for. So although I've had these misconceptions about bringing things to the table, actually telling or being honest with my therapist, saying, you know what, I don't know if I can say this, but I'm just going to say this now. And this is it. So I don't know what to do about this. So just navigating through building that trust in the relationship with your therapist is another thing I've personally struggled with. But of course, every experience is personal to everyone. But I think these are the couple of things that have come up for me and others as well. So,
I mean, you've mentioned trust and being honest with your therapist a few times. And I think that's important. I definitely think that's important too. Let me ask you a question. What would you say? And I don't think you've experienced this because you've had the same therapist for about a year. But if someone, like, they started on that journey with a therapist, but they didn't feel comfortable with them, they hadn't, you know, yeah, they had trust issues, or they have trust issues. Would you say to stick with it, or would you say, you know, at the end of the day, it's your time, it's your money, potentially, find someone else? You know, like, how patient should someone be?
About that? I think it's all up to the person. If you feel uncomfortable, if you feel this is something's not working right from the start, there's nothing stopping you saying, you know what, thank you for the first session, but I'd like to explore or find someone else because something's just not sitting right with me. And that's fine because you need to remember that this is your time. It's your personal experience. These are your feelings, your thoughts. So if you're feeling uncomfortable that something's not sitting right with you, that is fine. You can be open and honest to them about it, about how you're feeling, and find someone else. It's okay to kind of find somebody else that fits better with you because you're going to be spending 1 hour with them talking about yourself and things that are on your mind. And if you want to get the best out of it, it's best to find someone that matches you with how you're feeling in that space. And you need to feel very safe in that space with this person. I would suggest to someone.
I agree with you. I do agree that it's important to find someone that you can that you are comfortable sharing with, you can talk to. And it's something that I, like, while you were talking, I was almost like playing back a conversation that I've had with a friend who used to complain about, you know, a therapist she was seeing, and how, I guess she just wasn't so happy. But saying that, I think after a while, she was also saying positive things. So it's probably good for that person to also perhaps explore, or maybe give it a, give it some time, perhaps, just in case it can change. But it, like you said, it's down to the individual. And
Of course, like in the very first instance, if it feels, something feels off, of course, find somebody else. But like you said, sometimes it just probably you need time to get used to that. Of course, it's a new relationship you're trying to build with someone, a therapeutic relationship. And sometimes even talk about transference in counseling, where like you project your preconceived notions and your fears onto your therapist, or vice versa. So probably that's something that's happening. But then again, if you raise it with your counselor, probably you can navigate as to where that's coming from, So I think even at the bottom of having such an experience as well is talking about it to your therapist, because that's the best way to get the bottom of it if you really need to find somebody else, or it's just an internal struggle or something that you need to work with them. So, yeah.
So like one of the things I noticed when I had my time with a therapist was, you mentioned about patience, because I had to be patient. Mm-hmm. I remember even week four, week five, I was still thinking, I was still going into those sessions thinking, oh, what is this doing for me? Is this really helping? It's an hour of my time, my busy schedule that I don't have, because I wasn't really seeing the benefits. And it was only, I think the turning point for me was session five. And then I started actually thinking, oh, this is really good. This is really good for me, because it was giving me time to explore, evaluate, analyze, become more self-aware. And when you're aware of things that you weren't previously really aware of, you could then do something about it if it's not a positive, if it's not positive. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a while before I noticed the benefits. How long did it take? Maybe even from the first session for you, who knows? But how long did it take before you noticed, or have you noticed any benefits so far from your therapy?
Of course, I think after, I was so optimistic about therapy in itself. So after my second session, I was like, wow, this is brilliant. The homework's working. I'm doing so well. And after 2 or 3 months, of course, life happens and you dip. And I was like, wait, hold on, actually, this is coming back. This is something's not right again. So I think it comes in waves. Like, I still feel I'm still growing and still learning so much about myself. Like you spoke about self-awareness, which I think is so something that I relate to a lot. I've become so self-aware since this journey, a lot of reflection and has kind of taken place along these months for me. And I think it's still happening. It's still a journey. It's still a process. But I think after 6 months or so, that's when I really felt, okay, this is going in the right direction. This is something I need to work on. These are the things that really need my attention right now. These are the things that are blocking me from being my best self, for example. So
yeah.
you kind of learn your way of processing things and learning about yourself in therapy. I wouldn't say it's a timeline for anyone. It could be one session or two sessions for you, or it could be your eighth or ninth, or in 5 months. You never know, because it also depends on the type of therapy you're even in. So
true.
It's been an interesting journey so far. Yeah.
And what would you say has surprised you the most about your counseling journey?
Surprised me the most. I would say the non-judgmental aspect of it. It's going and sitting with someone and talking to them about your thoughts, the way you think, about why you do things the way you do sometimes, or explaining life in general, and they will take it as it is. There's no judgment from them. There is no opinions, no labeling that takes place that makes you feel inferior, or there's something wrong with you, or there's something that needs to be fixed. It's that It's that attitude or that safe space that comes with therapy, something that really surprised me. Although in theory, I kind of knew that would happen. But in practice, sitting there and be like, wow, okay, I can talk about that and not feel ashamed about it. I think that's one thing that really surprised me. And also that the time it gives you with yourself, the focus is all about all the things happen in life and you're taking them to your therapist. It's all about, okay, but how am I, what's my role in this event? So the focus that's kind of redirected to you, I think is something that I did not expect. I think those are two top two things I would say that kind of really surprised me with therapy.
What tips would you give someone who's in two minds, you know, about having counselling based on your own experience? Like, for me, I don't know why it took me so long. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I think back in the days, I probably had this stereotype of, you know, you had to be some sort of person, you know, that really needed help. You know, you had issues to go for therapy. Mm. However, that's changed over time. But what would you say if someone is in two minds?
Yeah.
What would you say to them based on your own experience?
My first very straightaway answer would be, do it. But I understand it's not as easy as it sounds. For me, myself, it took me 8 months from the intention to action. And there are various reasons as to why that happens. Sometimes you're trying to find some person, or even for me, I felt like I was not in the headspace to talk about it. Sometimes things get too heavy and you're not just ready to put it into words and explain to somebody else what's going on internally, which is fine if you think you need some space to get yourself together. And then when you're ready to talk about it and you want to take it to someone, that's fine too. But in that space, I would also say, make sure you're not isolated. Make sure you're not alone. Talk to a trusted friend, a family member, or somebody who's out there who can listen to you, basically. But when you are ready, do it. Because it's something that's going to help you. There's no con to going into therapy, because this is something you're doing for yourself and for nobody else, really. It's like a personal investment in yourself, I would say. Mm. So be patient with yourself through the process, because it's not going to be easy. It's going to be very uncomfortable. But it's definitely something I would recommend to someone who's in two minds, because I get it. Like Mary, you mentioned stigma as well. Like even self-stigma and personal stigma comes into play. Like, is this something I want? Is my problem that big enough that I need to take it to therapy? Is something wrong with me? All of these things, of course, I felt those things too. But then you need to realize everyone's threshold for tolerance of things that happen in life is different. And it's okay, you know? It's all part of the human experience. We're all going to have good days. We're all going to have bad days. And sometimes it's manageable, sometimes it's not. So, but there's always someone out there who's waiting to listen, and it might be your next therapist. So give it a good thought. Definitely go for it.
Thank you, Janice. No, I like what you've said about how, you know, it's all part of the human experience, and certainly give it some thought. As for you, you've gone down this route and there's been no regrets. So yeah, brilliant. All right, thanks Janice for explaining and just sharing about your experience and how it's benefited you.
Thank you, Mary.
Here's a spiritual wellness tip for you. Meditate on Philippians 4 verse 13, which is one of Janice's favorites, and it reads, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thanks for listening. Do follow and join me again next time on Beyond the Smile with Mary Lyons.